Guidance is internal. Ignition sequence starts. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Permission to board, please.
Permission to come aboard.
Permission to board.
Permission to board.
Do I have some permission to board that sweet mothership?
This is the Permission Granted podcast. Here's DA.
Welcome inside the Permission Granted Podcast, the PGP, the show about the show within the show. This is available on its own podcast feed by simply searching Permission Granted. Subscribe, rate, and review. Also, it's available on the DA Show's podcast feed as well each and every week. Side A this week features myself and Andrew Bogish. Bogeyman, good morning.
Well, good morning, DA. Good to see you again. Welcome back to the mix.
Yeah, it's been good to be back. I was off all of last week. I was doing the math. Now, AJ was born in late May. He was born May 23rd. I took the first 2 weeks off at that point, paternity leave. Then I was on for 2 weeks doing the show, but I worked from home completely. Then I was off for another 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So that takes us to late June. I had worked 2 weeks. Then we had the Bob's Bar show. And right around then is when the bomb dropped that Mraz was leaving. And I had vacation scheduled or something. Then I came back for a week, tried to sync it up, but like I was out and then he was out.
Well, just be careful here. Don't talk yourself into Bilotti counting your days off, because it seems like there's a lot more time off than it felt like in reality. So just be careful that you're not talking yourself into days that you didn't have to burn and all of a sudden Bilotti's going to get you on the back end.
No, I think I'm completely burned out.
Okay, good.
I think I have 2 more weeks of paternity, but that could be carried over into 2024.
Correct.
No vacation. We don't do carryover vacations. So you got to use them or lose them. So then we get to August, and I took a week somewhere, and then last week, and then in between, I was in for Rome, so I wasn't on this show.
Right.
So basically, I was doing the math, and I think, which is why it was so funny that our intern said she's never seen me before, was because I think I did the math, and like I'd worked since AJ was born a total of 4 weeks this summer probably, and 2 of them were at home, I think, something like that. So.
Well, and same for me, because of all of that and my own time off, I have barely done my regular job this entire summer.
Yeah.
Like when I came in this week on Monday, it was the first time I was doing updates, I think, in the month of August.
Wow.
So I had to like remember how to log in and how to actually, where do I find Stunned to a News is. It was a lot.
It's very heavy lifting over here.
Very.
And so this week, the band is back together and we have Boyle in at the executive producer role. We still have not decided on the permanent fixture there, but Pat's been doing a great job and he's obviously in the mix. And so today, Wednesday, we had 2 extremely funny bits. Maybe 3. Yeah, maybe 3. But certainly 2 that involved Pat as well. One was if Jerry Jones picked up Jack Stern-isms, and Pat had a really funny line of, that's like telling a tick to go into a tampon. And not get
a skeeter.
Not get swilled up. And then there was also the bit about
the Schwartz family jammed into one hotel room on vacation in Ohio with Peter and his sleep mask going.
And then so Pat had the sound effect of the CPAP machine going, like it was Darth Vader. And then also if there was some nighttime activities, how it would sound in the CPAP machine. Which one of those 2 bits are you voting for today as the better bit?
Oh, I mean, singularly Boyle breathing his way through the mask, through coitus with Mrs. Schwartz. I mean, that's an all-timer. You know, I couldn't see I was crying so hard from laughing so hard about that. And like I said on the air, that's not necessarily the best visual.
No.
But now I kind of want to see it after Boyle took us to it with that noise.
Which is also amazing because Schwartz is bouncing around the newsroom today. He's doing updates on the local side.
Yeah.
In a real Wayne Krabet jersey.
Correct.
Not throwback, not you bought it from Mitchell and Ness. That is an old school screen printed Wayne Krabet number 80 jersey, probably from 1994.
Easily. I mean, my guess is he was an early adopter, an early bandwagon jumper of Wayne Corbett, local kid, wasn't supposed to make it. So that
Hofstra.
That might be like a first edition Corbett jersey. Yeah.
Could be first year Wayne Corbett.
Right. Like, you know, people collect like first edition books. Yeah. This is the first printing of
or like a
Tale of Two
rookie.
Cities. That's what he's got on his back, Wayne Corbett.
So now we have Schwartz hanging around here in a Wayne Corbett jersey from the early 90s or mid 90s with the image of the CPAP machine mask.
Yes. And the I don't know how this happens. Everyone else that we talk about is told that we're talking about them, which is either why they love us more, ha ha ha, you get a text like that was funny, or we get the email to leave that person alone for 30 days. It's like a weird restraining order. But it feels like Schwartz has no allies, and I'm not suggesting anyone do this because it's better this way. It's just amazing to me that not one person seems to tip him off to the stuff that we talk about with him, and that when he's here, like, one of the things we've learned in the last couple weeks while you were not here is that Schwartz, when he sits in my little booth, he doesn't know that he has the technical capability to listen to the show. So therefore,
excuse me?
Yes. He also, I think, would choose to not listen because he prefers to listen to the fan in the morning. But he doesn't know when he's on the show that we're talking about him on the show. So as far as I know, he has zero knowledge of any recent takedown of him because he doesn't ever hear it.
And the takedowns have softened over the last few months, if not year and a half or so, since last year's Bob's Bar.
Correct.
The 2022 Bob's Bar is when he had it out with Shep. And most of the public sided with Schwartz in that.
Yeah, what instance. A turning point. What a renaissance.
It was a huge comeback for him, but the story's not over yet because I would say today stock is higher right now on Shep than it is Schwartz.
Yeah, I think Schwartz is tempting fate. Yeah. He's putting a lot of Schwartzisms out there.
Yeah.
You know, we played the Harrison Bader clip. There was also another tweet this week that I saw, unfortunately, where he was asking for the Jets to bring somebody back because they'd wear a number of a jersey he already has and he could do his trick of switching out the nameplate. So it's just, it's a lot of Schwartz. It's a lot of Schwartz.
And at a local event, did he pour mayonnaise on Joe Douglas, the GM of the Jets?
No, I think Joe Douglas poured ranch dressing on him.
Oh, right.
Which goes back to an incident at the infamous Miller's Ale House, I believe, which also came back up last week when he was with us because some New York listener went on Reddit and did a Schwartz family takedown of that story that we don't know the real story, that they were acting like animals and got thrown out of the restaurant that night. So Schwartz went on the rampage about that last week. Again, it's never ending. It's always something. They can't always be the victims. They somehow they're starting the fire in some of these situations.
Yeah, and Schwartz occupies such an interesting place in DA's show lore and CBS Sports Radio lore. He was the original update person, so he was doing your job when we were on overnights the first 2 years. And he was no longer full-time with just one show, so he was doing stuff locally, then he was doing stuff CBS Sports Radio, then he wasn't doing stuff at all, and then so it's been up, down, everywhere. But he occupies such an interesting space because he doesn't really remember any of the stuff we used to do on the show. He does not have much of a memory of the on-air content, but he has remained relevant, not by referencing things that happened on the air, but continuously referencing his own life in every spot.
Everything.
So he was doing updates with you guys last week, and a listener pointed out, like, how many times can he shoehorn his kids into the conversation?
Yep.
The Harrison Bader quote that we played today was they were talking about how the Yankees had waived Harrison Bader, and he was like, I don't understand this move. And he talked around why he didn't like it, and then he got to the real point, which was, now I have to move his baseball card into the box of Yankees, of old Yankees. So this is an annoyance to him.
Right, and not the annoyance of that I might feel like, now I got to sit down with Jake and help him redistribute his Harrison Bader card. And the last thing I want to do today is go flipping through card binders. He's upset that he has his own work to do as a 50-something man because the Yankees are in the process of getting rid of Harrison Bader.
And then the ranch thing with Joe Douglas, it was supposed to be a gag where, again, something happened at his favorite sports bar. His family goes to Miller's Ale House all the time for dinner. They didn't bring enough ranch. They brought too much
ranch. Or somebody dropped it on him, like as they were serving the table or something. I chose not to learn the story.
Yeah, I know. And so then Joe Douglas, the GM of the Jets, is at this event for listeners, and he ends up dumping a vat of this on Schwartz's head. And instead of it just being like the, wow, that's a funny moment, it's a viral moment, Schwartz had to come in the entire week and be like, did you see that? Did you see Joe Douglas dump the ranch on my head? I still got ranch on my shirt. I still smell like ranch. Like, he couldn't let that go. He had to remind everybody.
I think it's his number two talk topic. After, if he's not shoehorning the kids in, he's somehow getting the ranch dressing story in.
At Bob's Bar, what happened? Schwartz showed up, which is great, but his son had to long snap at that event. And he long snap, was it donut holes?
Powder into, donut holes at mini donuts.
Into Badland Booger's mouth. So there's it always comes back to him. And maybe this is brilliant marketing by him, because he just never relents in talking about his own life.
And he always wins. I said it before, I'll say it again. He wins. Now, most of us kind of check out and stop, know where the line is. We don't want to go too far. We have some, I don't know what the right word is. Self-esteem sounds too harsh. Like, but we know, like, okay, that's asking too much. I don't want to be annoying. Like, Schwartz doesn't have any of those filters, any of those rails. So he, more times than not, like, I know I don't want Joe Douglas to dump ranch dressing on my head, but I wouldn't mind if Billy Epler knew who I was, or if Joe Shane thought I was funny.
Mm-hmm.
And because Schwartz is Schwartz, he's got a lifelong, I even think that he got Jets tickets out of Joe Douglas on the heels of that.
Because he's shameless.
Because he asked for them. And Joe said, you're sure, go ahead. Or like, he can go, I think maybe they were pending for this coming season, where he like now has Jets comp tickets through the GM because of that night, not just getting dumped on, but then he like threw it out there because he's got no shame. And Joe Douglas said, yeah, sure, here are your tickets.
And I think you and I look at Schwartz bemused and at times annoyed. But for the most part, I'm bemused by him, amused by him. I mean, he's a character. He weaves himself in every story, which is kind of hysterical. He's totally harmless. He's a good guy. He's a good dad. I mean, he's part of the show's history, so I would never actively wage some type of war against
him. No, because all this innocent,
it's not
to be a troll. He's not trying to piss people off. Like, this is just him.
Yes.
He makes no apologies for it. Maybe he doesn't realize what's going on all the time, but like, this is just who he is.
It's all benign, but he's got a blind spot and it just is who he is. So he's authentic. But Pete's a different story.
Yes.
And there is times when we were talking about Schwartz this week on the show that I noticed through the glass, Pete was getting visibly annoyed,
yes,
like frustrated, angry, like, let's stop talking about this. And I gathered last week, because we're still on a text chain with Mraz, that there were a few things that popped up about the show last week when I was off, and it was about Schwartz, and like, Pete was pretty angry at stuff.
And then he came back for one show last week. You'd think he'd be all refreshed and relaxed, and nothing's going to bother me. I'm here. I just came back from time off. I got one day at work. 4.5 hours later, I'm back home for the weekend. No big deal. And guns blazing with most of pointed at Schwartz for the little tiniest things. It's a mix of the Schwartz personality, and then it's a mix of the Schwartz like work persona of, he played the wrong cut, he played the cut again, he's not listening to sound check, we just played that.
Did the same stunt to a news.
Oh, well, that was a good one though. But even that, like, I was prepared when that happens, and that was like 2 or 3 weeks ago at this point, I was ready to jump in and tell him that he was repeating it, but Bilotti right away was just like, let it go. And then we just sat back and laughed. There's another time where we planted, I threw to him on purpose with, and now for more on the breaking news and everything else, here's Schwartz with headlines, thinking we'd stump him with what breaking news, and he just took it and went. So, yeah, Pete's got no leash for Schwartzy, who's actually walking in front of us right now through the glass. Pete's got no leash, and it is damn entertaining. But as always, I wish Pete could let a few things go.
I know. That is such a hysterical anecdote, though, that Schwartz, in his booth doing writing updates, A, doesn't listen to the show.
Not even a little bit.
B, would prefer to listen to WFA on the local New York channel. So he listens to other sports talk while in there.
Yeah.
Not the show that he's on.
Correct.
It's okay listening to sports talk while he's at work, just not the show that he's working on.
Now, I do think he'd listen out of obligation and like as part of the job, but somehow he has come to the conclusion that he can't listen in that booth when all he has to do is put up one slider and hit the on button on a little mini mixing board and he'd hear the show live and in full color. But somehow that fact has escaped him, so he just, I mean, I guess he could have put it through his phone or something, but he goes, nah, there's no way to get it in here, so let me listen to the local show.
He could also go to CBSSportsRadio.com on one of the tabs he has open and just hit play.
I don't know if he knows how to make any sound other than auditioning clips or the one clip he replays every 4 hours. I think that's the only sound production he knows how to make.
The least surprising story that came out of this week so far, first three shows, is that Pete the Body loves old Pizza Hut. Now, I'm of this ilk as well, nostalgic, especially for stuff from the 80s and 90s. But like, if you had to line up everybody at CBS Sports Radio who would love old Pizza Hut, Pete the Body would be the number one draft pick.
Of course.
He would be Peyton Manning, no question. And I have loved his passion for that topic the last 2 days.
The only thing that confused me was Wednesday's show, where he said there are plenty of places in Chicago now that have the same Pizza Hut ambiance to keep the idea of it going. But then I was trying to think now, I don't know what came first. I think Pizza Hut is copying the ambiance of Chicago deep dish. Right, they're not copying Pizza Hut.
No.
Pizza was trying to represent.
That's what's hysterical.
Recreate that. Like they're not the godfather of this. They're following along with a nationwide franchise.
The idea that like individually owned, great, authentic deep dish Chicago restaurants would try to replicate Pizza Hut's. Pizza Hut's atmosphere is hysterical.
But then like he said it so confidently for Pete that I'm sitting there going, that's not right.
No,
it goes the other way around. But wait, is it? It could, because I think Pizzeria Uno is a Chicago original.
No, you might be right.
But again, I would still think that that's based off of Lou Malnati's or somebody else. And like they're just trying to. So, but it like put me in this weird thing, like not trusting what I thought I knew about the Pizza Hut lineage.
Do you have the same nostalgia that me and Pete do for it?
So I remember very distinctly reading things in grammar school because you got something that you then took to Pizza Hut.
Oh.
And eventually I think you worked yourself up to free pizza by getting reading points.
Okay.
So I remember doing that. But in general, like, and it's really almost sacrilege as a New Yorker, but I like doughy pizza. Like, I like Sicilian. I like Chicago deep dish. I like that Detroit style, which is, like, somewhere a little thinner than a Sicilian.
Yep.
So every once in a while, like, I want specifically Papa John's is easier to get where I live now. But, like, that type of pizza does specifically apply to me at times. It's a different vibe.
Yeah.
Like if I had them together, a regular pizzeria and Papa John's, 9 times out of 10, I'm going regular pizzeria. But there's every once in a while, you're like, that's actually what I want. Specifically, I want that. I don't need to eat it in the place, but I want that type of pizza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny because I don't even know if we were a pizza household per se, but there's probably twice in my life when I was between the ages of 8 and 11 when we went to Pizza Hut as a family. I think it was just with my mom and my brother and sister. I don't think my dad was there. But it was just like we had to go out for lunch and like that was a big deal.
Yeah, I mean we were not fine dining in the Bogish household. So when we went out to dinner, it was either to the local Chinese restaurant, to Pizza Hut, to Fuddruckers, which I think was at one point a nationwide kind of thing. It was like, you know, eat hamburgers, maybe some video games.
A ground round type.
Sizzler, ground round. Like that was, yeah. That's where you went to celebrate things when I was growing
yes.
up.
Yes.
Get that salad bar at Sizzler, away we go.
Yeah.
That was the thing.
Yeah. So I have these very vivid memories of going to Pizza Hut and really loving the memory for all the things that I described on the show.
Well, getting your own pizza when you're like nine, that's cool. A big deal.
Yeah.
I'm picking the toppings. It's just for me. They're dropping in that big hot plate right in front of you.
Yeah.
What else would you want?
Yeah, the performance, it's really good. It was, at least. Now, I haven't been to a Pizza Hut probably since 1991 or
Have
something.
Have you ever seen one?
I think, like I said, there's one in the town or two over from me, but I haven't been in it.
Yeah, I think I've seen them in like...
And if it's out of business for the last 20 years, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen them like in a rest stop. It's like a pull in real quick and they're like sitting on those... tilted warming shelves, yeah. little personal pizzas.
There is a push to go retro to Pizza Hut at nostalgia because you see that as part of the Craig Robinson commercials. And then also there's a website that tracks the original 25 Pizza Huts that are still out there that look the same as they
true?
Used to do. Yeah.
Wow.
So people are making them a big deal now. But I thought it was so funny because I like it, but I knew it would strike such a chord with Pete. If you could put Pete, I mean, maybe I'm the same guy as Pete. I mean, who knows? But if you could put Pete at a Pizza Hut in 1989 to go home and watch Perfect Strangers or Alf.
Yeah.
And then, you know, pop on Big on VHS
and
in the VCR.
And some Hulk Hogan at the end of the night.
Today he'd be in total heaven.
Yeah. You might pick... you know, fishing. I might pick a beach or something like that. Yeah, he's like, give me a 1989 sitcom, Pizza Hut on my lap. These guys like those big, fat, thick rubber wrestling dolls and a little mini plastic ring. That's perfect Pete. With all due respect to his wife and kids, he'd go back to that in a second.
I follow a couple of retro Twitter accounts and Instagram accounts. I wonder what Pete's Instagram or Twitter account looks like. It must just be all retro accounts. Where they show the old Diet Pepsi can, and then they show the old picture of Nolan Ryan, and they...
Yeah, there's a few others that might get mixed in that way that I want to say out loud that I think would skew the algorithm a little bit for Petey. Things that would not be in yours or my...
Would it be a retro version of those?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Modern.
Yeah, I mean, maybe like a retro Reagan IG feed somewhere in there. Republican Pete, that I don't know about, but... It is predominantly things that are no longer made, exist, fresh, all those things.
All right. Well, that is going to be side A. You got Pat Boyle coming up on side B,
oh,
right?
Oh, I got Boyle. We're going to relive the CPAP mask and other things.
Oh, you got to love it.
All right, in 3, 2, and 1. All right, here we are, as promised, Bogish Side B and Patty B with us once again this week. Mr. Boyle, we are midway through another week of you pretending to be the executive producer of the show unofficially. How you been? How's it going?
Good. I'm doing well, Bogues. Hitting the U.S. Open for some tennis coverage after the show every day this week and next week as well, so it's... Burning both ends at the candle. What is it? Burning the candle at both ends. But yeah. We're living, man. We're living life.
Now, are you getting paid for that U.S. Open work, too, or are you just getting the pass to be there and show off a little bit?
What do you discern the answer to be?
No, I'm going to go with B, that you're doing the smart thing here and using this place to get some access, and you never know what pops up from being there and meeting people and shaking hands.
That is correct.
So how late are you... spending your days at Flushing Meadows right now?
So each day I've left right before 10 o'clock, like 9:45, take the shuttle, and I go there straight from here. So I leave here about 11:30, get there around 12:15. It's taken me 45 minutes to get there both days, which is not terrible, I guess.
You're not driving from here, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going over the Williamsburg Bridge, right?
Little media parking?
No.
No?
That is honestly, I thought that would be the bar that I would get the media parking.
Right.
Turns out that is not the case. None of the supervisors or parking attendants know what media parking is. They go, you work for ESPN? I'm like, nope. They go, I think they're the only ones that have a media parking lot. So I was like, all right, nice. Then I assumed there would be a parking pass. That was, we only received one parking booklet.
Right.
And that has gone to Anne Liguori.
As it should, okay.
Should it?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't think she's doing work there either.
She's not.
I don't, maybe on the weekends?
She's not really doing much.
She might be recording
there.
Interviews for a show on Saturday
she
or
is.
Sunday.
So but there's that's that. Not for CBS Sports Radio and WFAN.
Oh, doesn't it sound on the fan anymore?
No, she has her updates that she used to do before COVID when it was updates every 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Those were eliminated. Then it was 1 hour, and she was still doing those until...
People heard her on the network. I used to love her golf updates.
The scientist.
Right.
Until COVID, and then now she has been basically rendered useless. Now, she still has a Sunday morning show during, like, the peak golf season.
Right.
But...
That's all.
She has the parking booklet, and I kind of said, hey, is there any chance you want to... You know, I'm coming straight from the station. You're coming from... And she mentioned it right away. Her house in the Hamptons.
Her house in the, yeah. But I mean, she's a legacy employee. She's gonna get that stuff first. You gotta battle
there,
here.
I'm there every day. Give me the parking pass, lady.
She might be there every day.
She wasn't there yesterday.
Hmm. All right, I'll work on this for you.
Yeah. So no parking pass.
Ann and I are close. I'll put in a good word for you.
Luckily, I was directed by one of the parking attendants. First day, I finagled my way in. Supervisor, I was like, I was supposed to have a parking pass. I'm picking up my credential. And I just kind of kept talking until finally she's like, all right, just go. Yesterday, different supervisor. She was having none of it. She goes, no, you got to pay. Like, she knew, she thought I was lying.
Right.
Which I technically wasn't.
Yeah. And you flashed your credential?
As I did. And as of yesterday morning, Tuesday morning, I was still waiting to hear whether or not I was actually going to get a parking pass after I found out we only had one.
Because
I was like, can I request another since I'm coming straight from the radio station in Manhattan? Found out. Then later in the afternoon, I wasn't going to be given that. But the supervisor at the parking lot was having none of my explanations.
Okay.
Finally, she goes, there's a free lot like a quarter mile down the road if you want to park there. I was like, you got it. Because I ain't parking 40. I ain't paying 40 bucks
no.
every single day to park. So,
no.
You know, got a couple extra 5 minutes of walking in, parked in the free lot, and there you go.
All right,
I've been
get
staying
your steps.
There. And then, you know, I leave her like 9:45 at night. It's a 40-minute drive back to Hoboken. Shower, sleep. Here we go again.
You know, we've, on this show, people that used to be on the show threw around hard hat labels like they were nothing. Like they didn't mean anything. They mean something to be a hard hat guy.
It does.
You're being a hard hat guy right now.
I appreciate that.
Those are long days, back to back to back. One of them is completely thankless in terms of money. So, I mean, you're putting in the hours here, and we haven't missed a beat. Sound check's great. There's a rundown. There's show suggestions. There's guests book. I mean, there are guys not booking guests when all they were doing was had to book guests, and they weren't booking guests. You got all this other stuff going on, and you're still booking guests.
Hey, I learned from the best, Bogues. And you're
who's that?
You?
No, I'm not. I don't book guests.
Well, you don't book guests, but anytime somebody's off, you're hosting the show.
No,
you'll
sweet talk
duty.
Me. Get you nothing here. you're barking up the wrong tree on that front.
Well, I mean, really, all I am doing though, technically, is just posting stuff on my social media. I kind of floated around. Hey, do we want to post anything for WFAN since it is in New York? The
yeah.
U.S. Open is in New York, and I was kind of quickly shot down on that.
You should offer yourself to like the overnight host as a guest. A little quick tennis recap at like 3 a.m.
Could do that. Could do
Man
that
on the street. Your buddies are you. I mean, that's a spot that you host in, so the audience is familiar with you. The guys who are hosting are familiar with you.
I don't know how much the actual popularity still is of tennis. I
yeah,
mean,
the
venue is packed. It is packed every single day. The arenas are sold out. They are making more money than ever. The popularity of the sport is higher than ever. The players are making more money than ever. But it kind of feels like that is the same with every sport. So I don't know how much right now, as we're a week away from the NFL season, the Jets and Giants are both supposed to be playoff teams. I'm not sure what, like, the general New Yorker's attention to tennis is right now.
True. No, unfortunately, that's true. Because you and I both love the sport and love this event in particular. But you're right. People would rather have their fourth hour of Jets breakdown than a 10-minute quick little U.S. Open recap.
What are you going to do?
But enough tennis for now. I've got to ask you about Wednesday morning because you delivered one of the greatest. I mean, this has to be a 12DA high up on the list. And I'm hesitant to bring it up because we're taping this. We are in a theoretically soundproof room. But in this room, waiting for you to come into tape, I could hear Peter Schwartz on his phone at his desk about 10 feet from here. So my fear is he can hear us right now. But we have to relive you putting on the fictional Schwartz CPAP machine and breathing your way through a session with Mrs. Schwartz. You know, there are times where I think Bilotti worries about your knowledge of where the line is in certain areas, but there should have been no stopping. I'm so glad that you didn't hold back and think, this might be too far, this might be this might be that. Let me not do it. Thank God you did that. Breathing as if you had the breathing apparatus on your face while things were happening in the Schwartz hotel room. Good job by you. An epic, epic performance.
Yeah, I was waiting to unleash it. There was a lot of hesitation. Like, we were talking about the CPAP mask that he brought up on the local side on WFN when he also mentioned that his family, two sons that look just like him, and his wife all stay in one hotel room rather than get two separate rooms when they go on a vacation, which they did at the Football Hall of Fame. And in that, he mentioned his CPAP mask. And and Boomer Esiason was talking about, what about when there's finicala?
a little nookie time for
Peter and the Mrs. Schwartz. And I was wondering, you know, the CPAP thing was still fresh in my mind. I was like, my mind just goes to dark, deep places. And I wanted to drop that line, and I hesitated. And then we kind of moved on with the conversation. And then there was a second of silence, and DA and I locked eyes. And I just go, imagine Mrs. Schwartz just goes, honey, I want to do it with the mask on.
The busts at the hall got me all hot and bothered. Come here, Joe Klecko.
Pete's mask noise, honestly, was 10 times better than mine. He hit, like, because Pete's was like, what's the word I'm looking for? It was labored breathing. Mine was just straight Darth Vader, though.
All right.
Whereas Pete hit the... as it speeds up, as they get more and more intense.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And just the images running through my head. Oh my God. I haven't laughed that hard ever on the show, and I haven't laughed that hard in months, maybe even years.
Yeah, I mean, it was intense. Like, I walked into to that segment having to go to the bathroom, and then it almost reminded me of Sean's laugh up, friction down thing. At one point, I thought I was going to lose control of my bowels. It was so funny. And I don't know what it is about when I wear my glasses, I tear up laughing very quickly. I don't know if there's like some like lack of airflow behind the glasses, but at one point it was like I was underwater. I had so much fun laughing tears in my face. And like I said on the air on Wednesday, that should not be a good visual.
Yeah.
But the idea of it happening with the mask on makes it almost must-see television.
Yeah. Like, I just picture him laid out, spread out, and just the mask and the tube running down the side of the bed while Mrs. Schwartz mounts.
And you know, and as the only married man in the room right now, I'll speak from experience, like it's hard to find fun times when you've got kids and there's a million things going on, and
I don't know how you ever do it.
And like, you know, work schedules don't line up, or you know, for me specifically, like I could go to bed at 7:30 every night, being up at 3:30 in the morning. Yeah. So it's hard to figure out when you can have your adult fun, and then throwing on the idea of the one last hurdle we need to cross is I need to take the mask off. That's unbelievable.
When do you find time to get kooky?
Well, when you learn to know that your kids are asleep.
Okay.
Like when you,
but
like,
they can wake up at any time.
Yeah, but...
And I guess at that point, do you say, hey, we have our two-minute offense. We have to throw the covers over, say, oh, just giving, you know, mommy's back hurts, something like that?
No. So, I mean, we have never, knock on wood, my kids are now 12 and almost 10.
And they've never walked in on you.
We've never even had someone, I mean, maybe once or twice, but I mean, there's never been a really like scary close call. I know we have friends, this came up one night, like just hanging out with other couples, that like said they don't even lock their door.
Wow.
Like that's rolling the dice.
So you guys lock the door?
The door's locked.
And if the kids, and they've never tried to even open it.
No, I don't know. I cannot remember a time where even somebody was like at the door handle, the knob, and we had to be like, get up and scramble and like, why is daddy in the bat? Like, nothing like that. Nothing.
Wow.
Yeah, once, I mean, once you've, and even now, like the good thing sometimes about being home at 2 in the afternoon is that the house is open at 2 in the afternoon.
Mm.
So you get a little afternoon delight.
Yeah.
That's the sweet spot.
That is a sweet spot. Yeah. And then you knock out, right? Nap then right
go,
after?
Then I go to sleep, or I go to sleep at 7:30 like I want. Everybody wins. I don't feel bad that I'm not awake and having fun. And I get my rest. At least I win.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who cares about her? All right, boy, we got to run. You're the best, man. And thank you for a singular moment in 2023. Sexy Schwartz in a CPAP mask. It's all you, and we're probably never going to forget it based on how good it was, and I'm sure Pete's already got it loaded in like 8 different versions for drops moving forward.
Glad I could deliver, and I'll see you next week on the PGP when I still probably won't know whether or not I am the executive producer or not.
Yeah, I mean, no rush. We're in no rush. It's almost Labor Day. Football starts like in 3 minutes, but no rush. Take your time, guys. With that, for Boyle, for Pete, I guess, both Bilotti and Schwartz, and for DA, I'm Bogish. As always, thanks for listening. We'll see you on the radio as well next week back here on the PGP. But for now, everything disconnects.
And then our Twitter plug.
Oh, you want, where, PatBoyle44?
You got it.
At Andrew Bogish, at Pete the Body, at Schwartz Sports, and now we're back.